Jeremy here in Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. And please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, send your check and money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. And support this network. Freedom of speech, we need it now more than ever. And you will find many hosts that have many different points of view, many different topics. Some you'll agree with and some you will not agree with, but you can call in to most of them and disagree. That's what makes this platform great. So please support it. Don't leave us hanging. I'll be giving some fundage tomorrow night. Mike, remind me of that. Getting some fundage into my account, and I'm going to spread a little fundage to RBN. I would hope that all of the hosts would donate, you know, because over at Rents, which is a decent network, you know, I'm not going to slam Rents at all, but they actually charge the hosts to broadcast. At one time, it was $500 a month. That's phenomenal. You know, along with all the stuff that Rent sells, again, I'm not slamming the guy. I'm just saying that RBN, like, the hosts don't have to pay. But certainly the hosts should donate at least something every month. And the listeners, especially if you're a regular caller, I hope you would donate to the station because you wouldn't be able to call in to this platform if it's, you know, not funded. So please do that. This is your Wednesday night spiritual health and wellness broadcast where we focus on biblical issues. You know that I am a biblical Christian and I set aside one night a week to focus on these issues. And I hope that if you're a believer, you'll listen in, be edified, call in, and talk with me. If you're a skeptic, you could call in and challenge me. If you're an unbeliever, then I hope that you would be reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. 512-248-8252. This is live. Tonight, I'm going to delve into Revelation chapter 7. I don't have a sermon clip. We're going to deviate just a bit from the norm on spiritual health and wellness of playing a lengthy sermon clip. I'm going to get right into the study because we're going through the book of Revelation. We're now in chapter 7, and I don't want to waste any time. The sermon clips are wonderful, but there's really a lot that I want to get through. So Revelation 7, we've set this up in the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we went through Revelation 6, where the Lamb of God, who was the only one worthy to open the seals, the seven-sealed scroll, which contained the judgments of the earth. He opened the seals, and he brought forth the horsemen of the apocalypse. Right? And this brings about what Revelation 6 did was it set up the book of Revelation, right? It set it up and gives it an outline. And then as you go through the rest of the chapters, you're reading into what has already happened in Revelation 6, the warfare, the destruction of a fourth of the earth's inhabitants through famine, warfare, the conqueror on the white horse, who is the Antichrist. And keep in mind that I'm interpreting Revelation as a future prophecy. I think this is what makes the most sense, taking the Bible literally. If you take it strictly spiritually or you try to do it any other way, you're going to run into multiple problems. And you're going to ask yourself, well, what in the Bible is spiritual or actual, you know, literal? I mean, did Jesus Christ literally die on the cross? Well, yes, he did. So I'm taking this literally. And there's things that happen in Revelation that haven't happened before as we get into these prophecies. And so that's why I take this book literally. And there's an actual outline to it. So in chapter 6, the Lamb opened the first six seals. And we get to Revelation 7 now. I set this up last week, and we had many callers that didn't get to get into the chapter. But in Revelation 7, we're going to get into the 144,000 sealed members out of the 12 tribes of real Israel. Again, real Israel. The Israel of the Old Testament. Put the fake Israel out of your mind. This Israel of the modern day that was established in the 20th century that is currently genociding children in Palestine. This is a fake Israel. In the future, you know, Paul, and as I mentioned last week in Romans 7, Paul has stated that there is a remnant of real Israel that are going to turn to the Lord. They're going to turn to their Messiah. And you have 144,000 coming from the 12 tribes. This is in Revelation 7. Now, this is taking place just before the judgment. The most intense judgments on the earth are released. The Lord God seals these 144,000 people. And that it's a special seal in that the judgments that take place don't affect them. Now, we're going to find later, especially in Revelation 13, when the beast appears, the Antichrist, that those who do not take the mark are going to be beheaded. They're going to be killed. There's going to be Christians that survive, that are in this judgment, that will not take the mark, and they will be martyred. So there's going to be martyred Christians. And Revelation 13 points out that only, it's not everyone that doesn't take the mark is written in the book of life, but for sure, those that are written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the earth will not take the mark. So let me paint it like this. There could be a lot of people that don't take the mark. You know, they go into the hills and the rural areas and the mountains, and they get out of the system. Maybe they're not believers, but they don't take the mark. But for a certainty, anyone that is written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the earth, none of them will take the mark. So in other words, rejecting the mark of the beast does not save you, but those who are truly saved and born again will not take the mark. On top of that, there's going to be many people who were not born again that could slip through the cracks and escape the mark of the beast. So that's sort of how this book is set up in this literal interpretation. But aside from the true Christians in this period, there's going to be a special group of people from real Israel, part of the remnant that Paul talks about in Romans 7 that I covered last week, that are going to be sealed on their foreheads. And they're going to be protected from all of these judgments that come down on the earth. And their specific job is to evangelize, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are inhabiting the earth during this intense time of judgment. Now, a lot of people talk about the 7-year tribulation. We get this from the 70th week of Daniel. Now, we could get into that, and maybe we will on a later show. But what I want to focus on are the last 3.5 years, because these last 3.5 years are explicitly noted in the scriptures. All right. Let me just share some of these with you. The last 3.5 years of judgment on the earth. All right. The first one is in Daniel 12, verse 1. All right. Daniel speaking of the latter times. The angel Gabriel is giving Daniel these prophecies of the last time. Daniel 12:1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. So a little bit of commentary here. Michael, this is the archangel Michael, who is very familiar in scripture, one of the few angels that are named. He will stand up for the children of thy people. who are thy people? Well, he's talking to Daniel at a time when Israel is in Babylonian captivity. So thy people are the people of real Israel. So this is a future prophecy concerning ethnic Israel of the future, the remnant that Paul talks about in Romans 11 and more broadly Romans 9 through 11. Going on to Daniel 12 and 1, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And Daniel here is referring to the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, if you are a born-again believer, regardless of the age that you're in, whether it be the present, whether it be believers of the past, believers of the Old Testament, or whether it be believers in the future tribulation that Daniel is speaking of here, if you're a believer, you're written, you're elect, you were chosen of God, and you were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth. So that's something that should give you hope and peace, that God is sovereign and he elects whom he elects. All right. But in this particular reference, in this context, Daniel is prophesying of the people of ethnic Israel, the remnant. Once again, not the fake state of Israel that we observe today, that the Christian Zionists worship, but this is real ethnic Israel. There are actual biblical Old Testament Israelis, ethnically, that are on the earth today that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And this according to Paul in Romans 11. So in the future, there's going to be a time that Daniel speaks of, such as never was since there was a nation. Right? And a nation is an ethnicity or you know, people call it a race. I don't like that terminology. I use ethnicity. The ethnicities were separated in Genesis 10 and 11 by language and geographic location. So since that time, there's going to be trouble that there never was. All right. This we can compare to Matthew 24:21, where the Lord Jesus on the Olivet Discourse is talking about this same great tribulation. All right. Matthew 24, verse 21, the Lord Jesus says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be." So the Lord Jesus goes even further than Daniel. Daniel says it's going to be a great trouble since ever was there was a nation. The Lord Jesus says there's going to be a great tribulation since the beginning of the world, since the beginning of time. This goes back to even the creation, right? Even before the flood, all right? So the Lord Jesus is prophesying about this great tribulation. So let's get a few more scriptures talking about this period of great tribulation, right, and how long it's going to be. Daniel 12 and verse 11. Daniel 12 and verse 11. Let me get to that real quick. So, you know, and please forgive me, the laptop is running slow. Let's just type it in here. Daniel 12. Many technical difficulties on spiritual health and wellness. I don't want to paraphrase this. I want to actually quote it. And it's not pulling up, so I'm going to go to the Word of God itself in paper. But Daniel 12:11 talks about a period of time that the sacrifice will be taken away. And he talks about 1,290 days. All right. And I've pulled it up here in the actual paper Bible. I don't know if you can hear the pages flipping. flipping. But then my laptop just completely froze. All right. Daniel 12:11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh the desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So that's just a little over 3.5 years that Daniel is talking about, a future time when the abomination of desolation is set up and the sacrifice is taken away. And Jesus actually refers you to Daniel in this prophecy in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. All right. So let me read here in Matthew 24, and I'm pulling this up. Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, let him which is on the housetop come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them who are with child, and to them that give birth, give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation. Matthew 24:21. Great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. So Jesus is referencing this Daniel prophecy of the great tribulation, of a time that never was since there was a nation, nor since the beginning of the world, according to Jesus. Jesus is putting these prophecies together with the abomination which maketh desolate, the abomination which is set on the wing of the temple. Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians 2, how the man of sin will sit in the temple of God. So the Antichrist, the man of sin, sitting in the temple of God, which is the third temple, is the abomination which is maketh desolate, which is spoken of in Daniel 12 and Matthew 24, and it's connected with these 3.5 years. Daniel says 1,290 days, which is just a month over 3.5 years. So where else can we find this 3.5 year reference? And I know we're coming up on the break real quick. Revelation 11:2, speaking of the temple, this third temple, the court which is without the temple leave out and measure not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city thou shalt tread under for 42 months. So we're going to get back to this theme of great tribulation, the abomination, and 3.5 years. We're going to get back to this on the other side and get into Revelation 7 on In Plain Sight.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
We're getting into a study of Revelation 7, and I'm just setting this up for you. The last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So set aside the 7 years, because that gets into Daniel's 70th week, and that can be debated. But what I don't think can be debated, if you take these scriptures literally, is there's going to be an intense time of judgment in a 3.5 year period, as the Lord Jesus and Daniel prophesied, that will be a time of trouble that will be intense, since there never was a nation or since the beginning of the world. That time of great tribulation, okay, is marked by the abomination of desolation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, and he referenced Daniel 12, all the scriptures that I read to you. And we go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and Paul talks about the man of sin setting himself up in the temple of God. So this supposes a third temple where the Antichrist is set up to be worshipped as God. This is the abomination. This kicks off the 3.5 years of intense judgment on the earth. And that's where we're at in Revelation 6, where the judgment is unleashed. The seals are broken. The Lamb breaks the seals, and the Antichrist is unleashed on the earth, and warfare ensues, and death and destruction, famine, and pestilence. All right. So we get to Revelation 7 now, and there's a group of people that are sealed, and they are protected from these severe judgments. Let me read the text to you through this short segment. Revelation 7. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. Let's stop there and comment. It's very fascinating that there are angelic beings that are preventing destruction of the earth. and they're completely and totally controlled by God. I want you to take that in, the sovereignty and the glory of God, how he protects us from judgment, and at his whim, he releases judgment, okay? Just keep that in mind. Go to verse 2. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Man, that's tremendous. These four angels, their job is to cause harm on the earth, and they're being withheld from doing so by the will of God. All right, verse 3. The angel cried, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000, all of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now let's stop here and comment. We correlate this with Romans 11, which talks about a remnant of Israel, those that have not bowed their knee to Baal. This is the real Israel, the real ethnic Israel, not the political Israel that we observe today on Fox News, but the real Israel. And there's going to be 144,000 of them sealed, and they're going to know what tribes they were. All right, go to verse 5. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribes of Reuben were sealed 12,000. The tribes of Gad were sealed 12,000. Verse 6, of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribes of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Verse 7, of the tribes of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribes of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. This marks the 12 tribes of Israel recognized in Revelation 7. 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes, 144,000, sealed for a particular purpose, to escape the judgments that were coming on the earth. Now, just to be clear, there are going to be other Christians that are not of these tribes, and we know this from other chapters of Revelation, who do not take the mark, who do not worship the beast, and they are beheaded for the testimony of Christ. They are killed. There's going to be many, many Christians killed. In Revelation 13, we understand that the beast is given power. He's given power by God to make war against the saints and to overcome them. So these 12 tribes, 144,000, are separate and apart from regular Christians living on the earth. I want you to think on that as you're in.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range, I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
On your Wednesday night broadcast, getting hips deep into Revelation 7, and we have a caller on hold, but I want to finish this out real quick. So we have a great tribulation that Jesus and Daniel testify of. The greatest tribulation since there was a nation, or since the world began, according to the Lord Jesus himself. And during this great tribulation, when the seals are broken and judgment is poured upon the earth, you have regular Christians that are going to withstand and not take the mark of the beast and be martyred. But you have a special group of people here of ethnic Israel, of the 12 tribes, the 144,000. And no, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, and we'll get into that if you want to. But they're going to be sealed for a particular purpose, to be protected from these judgments. So what purpose do they serve? Let's finish out the chapter, and then I'll get to our caller, right? And so after the 144,000, in verse 9, you see, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Palms. Doesn't this make you think of Palm Sunday, or when the true followers of Christ in Israel acknowledged him as their Messiah and, you know, declared him the Messiah? This number of people of all nations are in heaven. Verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, or living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are those which came out of great tribulation. Again, we have this phrase, great tribulation, right? These are Christians that died and went to heaven out of great tribulation. Going on with verse 14, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So it's not their works that saved them. It's the blood of the Lamb that saved them. Their works were a product of the blood of the Lamb. Just to make that clear. Verse 15. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. This group of people that is innumerable from all nations and tribes follow the 144,000 that are sealed. And I'm putting unto you this interpretation that the 144,000 sealed from the real Israel are evangelists that proclaim the gospel of Christ during the great tribulation, and the product of their gospel proclamation are these Christians that emerge that do not take the mark, that are killed for their testimony of Christ, and they go to heaven with their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Their works are a product of their faith. With that, that concludes Revelation 7. Let's go to the phones. William in Texas, welcome, my friend.
Hey, Jeremy. It's great to hear you again tonight on Spiritual Health and Wellness Wednesday. Great. I love to hear the Word of God on RBN, and your show is perfect for it, brother. I wanted to kind of see about what you thought of the angle of, I think this is good time because you're reading about the judgments of God coming upon the people in that chapter of Revelation, and a lot of it's all through Revelation. And, I look at the Word of God as the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. I mean, if there's a disagreement about something in life, people, whether it's abortion or homosexuality or any of the so-called hot buttons today, I think it all boils down to, what's your final authority? What's your standard for judging what's right and wrong? And I almost think that we're to that point in our culture and in our nation's history. I mean, you look at Noah, that people thought he was crazy, but he stood on what God told him to say, what God's word was for him. Even Jonah, even though he was reluctant, he went and told Nineveh to repent. He had God's word for them was to repent. You see John the Baptist coming on the scene early in the Gospels. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course, he wasn't a socialite with his camel skin and his diet, was he? I think we're to the point now, it's like this whole right-left paradigm, of course, we know that's false. But I think people need to be told why that's false. I think if we don't say that the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and the person who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, if we don't put that out there, that this is the Word of God, this is the final authority, this is truth from error, this is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, then it's really just a matter of opinions. Like, well, the Republicans say yes, or the leftists say that, or so what? You know, it's like, so what? So what, whoever says what, that's among us humans. I'm to the point now where I think we're at a point in our nation's history where we just have to go to where the rubber meets the road. It's not leftist versus right, although we know there's all kinds of problems there. But it's, what's your final authority? And so I wanted to throw that at you and see your, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It's the word of God for Christians. And I know that you don't particularly agree with me on everything in Revelation as being a future. But you got to admit that we're in a time in the global paradigm where everything is skewing to degeneracy. And the judgment of God has to fall. And this is one of the many reasons why I see Revelation as future, because I see a future judgment coming. The Lord is not going to let this stand. I mean, children mutilating their genitals, homos getting married. Like, this is not going to stand. And so what the book of Revelation is pointing out is that, you know, there's a time when God's going to say enough, and he's going to, judgment's going to fall. But the grace of God is allowing for evangelists to go out and preach the gospel for people to repent. And that could be what we're seeing in Revelation 7, is an innumerable group of people repenting, believing the gospel, accepting Jesus by faith, and they're killed for it. I mean, these all are things which we could see happen in the future. If a great revival broke out today, William, and people repented and went against the system would come down on them hard.
Right. I mean, look what happens just if somebody, and Patrick Slattery was there, just going peacefully, almost a million people back on January 6th. And, you know, there were some federal plants, and maybe they stirred up a few people that were a bit on the edge, you know. But, I mean, for the most part, 99.9% of the people were very peaceful, and a lot of people were lured into a situation. I mean, look what they do just if you go against their rigged election. I mean, much less go against their total system of evil, you know. I mean, they're not in this to lose. And communism, they never stop. And I've said this to people at church before. I say, listen, these people are not going to stop until they are stopped, you know, which is going to require some action. It's not going to require just us being a bunch of spiritual couch potatoes and doing a holy flop.
Well, there is a certain amount of activism that we can do as Christians. But look, this is going to be controversial. At the end of the day, you know, the system is going to overcome. Revelation says that the beast will overcome the saints. You know, he's going to implement a system where if you're faithful to the word of God and to the testimony of Christ, you're going to be beheaded. This is coming down. We can see glimpses of this, you know, as you're mentioning in the different political protests. And even today, where leftists are protesting the genocide of Palestinians, you know, look at what they're doing. They're coming down with hard force, arresting, dragging them away. What are they going to do when it's declared that Christians are terrorists? You know, that could be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The whole eschatology thing is something I don't think is a hill to die on, in my opinion. But I'll just say this. What if this is just a, you know, I mean, look at the Dark Ages. Look at the, what people call, you know, the Spanish Inquisition. I call it the Catholic Inquisition, of what they did to people like you and me who were Protestants, who had mainline Christian beliefs. Like, there's groups like the Waldensians, and I don't know if you ever read things from like Voice of the Martyr. I mean, Voice of the Martyrs, but what's that book? It was a book about the martyrs. You know, there's a couple of those, and that just what those who were in control, which primarily at that time it was the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy, just had people like you and me killed, you know, tortured, burned at the stake, beheaded. I mean, they did it with an iron fist. Communism has done it with an iron fist. Up in Canada, you can't even read parts of our New Testament, parts of Romans 1, without getting arrested. This is a side note, but what if, Jeremy, just hypothetically, let's say you're right on eschatology. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying hypothetically, let's say you're right. But what if it doesn't happen? What if the rapture doesn't happen? What if the second coming doesn't happen for another 100 or 500 years? I mean, I still think we need to be in the fight. Jesus said, occupy until I come. You know, he says we're going to be, I know we're saved by grace. I'm a total grace believer. You know that. But he said, occupy until I come. And 1 Corinthians 3 says, our works are going to be judged. And it's not only, you know, hey, what did you guys get done? Okay, you're going to be rewarded for this. But look at all the stuff that's burned up, all the stuff that was wood, hay, and stubble. What about our inaction? And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of inaction many times. Our inaction is wood, hay, and stubble. And so I'm just saying, I think each man needs to decide what his, or each woman, too, needs to decide what his or her fight is. Because we're in a fight, and these leftists are not going anywhere. I just heard something. Was it HB 910? You and Patrick might have talked about it today. I didn't hear that. But it was passed overwhelmingly in the Senate, and it's heading to the House. And it's about anything criticizing Israel at all, you know? It's a so-called anti-Semitism bill. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You could just read through the book of Acts and violate that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's the thing about most Christians don't know. You look at our brothers, Paul, Peter, James, John, they were beheaded. I mean, you look at the enemies of Christians all through the book of Acts, all the way to Acts 28. It wasn't the Romans. I mean, Nero came along in AD 64, and he was the first Roman worldly persecutor. But the persecutors all through the book of Acts, just like you're pointing out, was the Jews and the Jewish hierarchy, the Pharisees.
Yeah, we are, and you're right. We could just be in a pocket of history where Christians are persecuted once again by Jewish domination, and it may not be the end times. I'm just saying that, like, if you want to take the prophecies of Paul literally in Romans 9, 10, and 11, you know, there's going to be a remnant of Israel that emerges, and it's not this fake Israel. And right. This remnant of Israel is going to emerge in a time of great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. So I don't know that we've reached that level of persecution that Jesus and Daniel, you know, prophesied about. A persecution level since not the, you know, has existed since the world began. And maybe that's future. That's what's making me think that these things are future.
Well, we have, regardless of what our views are on Revelation and the specific prophecies in there, and I don't believe all of Revelation's been fulfilled. I'd have to get into specifics on another show or just on our own time. But the thing is like, Jesus never promised us a rose garden. In fact, on the other hand, he says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said right before he ascended in Matthew 28, I think it's verse 21, where he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, you know, discipling them. So since Jesus overcame death, first died for all our sins, stayed dead 3 days, overcame death, rose the third day. Now he is the king of this universe. He is the king of heaven and earth. He said, you know, maybe he couldn't have said it before, even though he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but he definitely said before he ascended, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. I know Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the god of this world system, but this is Jesus's earth. And people need to know this. Christians need to know this and stop wimping out. And they're just like, well, you know, Jesus said he'd get worse. So does that give you an excuse, brother or sister, to just almost be inside cheering that things are getting worse? I think we need to take the exact opposite attitude. No, this is Jesus' earth. He said we should overcome evil with good. Paul said that we should abhor, hate that which is evil, and cling to that which is good. These are active things. These are not passive things. So that's where I think we are in this fight. And it is a fight.
I agree that we should be active and not passive. But there's so many of these scriptures that point to a time where the world will overcome the believers. You got the third temple prophecies, and I know we're getting into stuff that maybe we don't agree on. But with this whole thing with Israel that we see unfolding in the news, this fake Israel has so much prominence and power, and it's pushing legislation in the U.S., as you've annotated, that even speaking against it can get you arrested. They're totally circumventing the First Amendment right here. And we're going to go the way of Europe and Canada, as they progress. So I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And if we see a third temple up, perhaps what I'm saying will, you know, be validated. I hope it's not, but
yeah. And what's really sad is I know you're not one of those people, but there's people, Christians, who are almost cheering and praying for a third temple. I mean, and for us to have a red heifer barbecue. And to me, that is like, I'm thinking, there's a reason God had the Romans under Titus destroy that temple in 70 AD, because the book of Hebrews, I believe, obviously was written before 70 AD. It says the old covenant, you know, not only did Jesus implement the new covenant himself and with his death, but the old covenant was passing away. And there was that transitionary time in the book of Acts while the old covenant temple was still standing, you know, and people were still going to the temple. And after Christ had completed the ultimate sacrifice himself, there were still people going back to the temple. And what I think they were doing is by sacrificing blood of bulls and goats, that was just, that's almost like a defiance to what Christ did. The Jews kept doing that. They kept thinking, well, if he was truly the Messiah, he couldn't have died. Well, God finally put a stop to that in 70 AD. I think a third temple would just be an absolute abomination. I can't believe some of my fellow Christians are almost rooting and cheering for it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely, it would be. That would be tantamount to going back in time and rooting for the crucifixion of Christ. Nobody, you wouldn't do that. I mean, that's what the Jews were doing, saying, crucify him. He's not our king. Caesar is our king. What I will put forth is that in the same way that the destruction of the second temple was a testimony against the Jews,
yes,
the erection of the third temple could be a testimony that there are some prophecies yet to be fulfilled in Revelation, and that there's a man of sin that's coming to occupy that third temple, which is evil and, you know, not holy. And so I think that's where we're at. If that third temple is erected, I think we should all reconsider our view of eschatology.
Do you think it's interesting, and I had to find this out for myself, there's not a single verse in the New Testament that talks about another temple being rebuilt?
Well, other than 2 Thessalonians 2, you know, the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, we've discussed that. Revelation 11 talks
about the think, temple. Yeah, you think that 2 Thessalonians, you think that's future. And you think,
right.
But see, Revelation 11, I think Revelation was written before the destruction of the temple, because the temple was still standing in Revelation.
Well,
but I know we're getting into the weeds. I know we're getting into the weeds, but
that's what I'm saying. Let's talk about physical evidence. What if we see a third temple emerging? Then we're going to have to, you and I both are going to have to, you know, totally reconsider our view of eschatology.
What if it's just another typical Jewish neo-Bolshevik power play? What if it's just more political than anything else?
It could be, but as we talked about, self-fulfilling prophecy, maybe they read that and they build the third temple. But in God's sovereignty, that's how he brings about judgment on them. You know, God draws people out and he judges them. And it could be in his plan to draw anyone that supports this third temple. It could be in his sovereign plan to draw them out, to judge them, anyone that participates in this.
Sure.
It's to be seen.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally agree with that, brother. And getting back to my original point, I know we've gone on down some, and actually some good rabbit trails, both of us here. But I think the initial point of my call is I really think we're at a time where we just have to deal with people almost like we are each, you, me. I work a very minimal job. I know you have your own trade, your own skill. We don't meet with chiefs of staff. We don't meet with the string pullers of our nation. I mean, we might meet with a county sheriff here and there, but I think it's almost to the point where we all need to be each personal evangelists in our own way, being a light to people, making sure that they understand that the final authority is not the right or the left. The final authority is God and what is declared in his word.
Well, amen to that, brother. I appreciate your call. We're at the end of the show.
Yeah, it's another fantastic show, brother. I appreciate this. Wednesday nights, it's the height of my week, so I enjoy your show, brother.
Man, thanks a lot. You don't know what that means to me, brother.
You got it, brother. Have a blessed night. God bless you.
Thank you. Back tomorrow night with William and Jeremy. You guys stay classy.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.